Welcome to Sonic Symbolism with your host, Bjork.
Welcome to my new podcast, Sonic Symbolism, where we explore all my discography, the moods, timbers, and temples with my best friends and some special guests. Welcome, my friends. Jennifer Tilly, it's so good to see you.
Oh, it's so great to be here with you. I really love seeing you every time I get the chance.
I love you. I haven't hugged you in so long because of the pandemic. I miss drowning in your hugs.
Yes, I miss you too. I miss you coming over on Thursday nights, and we trap each other in plastic trash bags, and we just have a hoot and a holler.
Remember the time that we got inside the old refrigerator we found in an alley, and we just shut the door and got trapped?
Yes, we were covered in aloe vera gel, so we weren't able to free ourselves. So we screamed and screamed into the night, and the night became day. It was a great weekend.
And that screaming eventually became a song.
That's right.
It's all so quiet, but we'll get to that later.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yes, another guest and really very old and good friend of mine. Thorvald, the troll, the ice troll from my native Iceland. Welcome, Thorvald.
Hello, Bjork. Very good to be here. Good to be anywhere. Good to see you. Good to see. Just to see it's very good.
Yes, and congratulations on, I heard that your platoon defeated a legion of ice elves a month ago when they were attacking the village nearby.
Yes, well, we have been at war with them for a very long time, and this was a big battle coming very long. We prepared very well. We watched the movie Platoon over and over to see some good tactics. And at the end, we emerged victorious, so it was very good.
Yes, and let's not turn another one of my podcasts about my albums into old war stories like we did last time, but it's just good to have you back.
Fun when we talked about the first war with the elves and the second war with the elves. And the second war...
You saved my life many times, my friend.
Yes.
And you have also DJed many of my parties. How is that going?
Oh, very good. I love to spin the records and make sure everybody dancing. Mostly, I like to play the oldies and get the booties on the floor.
And not many people know this, but in Iceland, we don't use CDs or vinyl. There's actually ice. It's like your records made of vinyl, but we use ice discs.
Ice, baby. Yes. Very good.
Yes, Thorvald has one of the most extensive ice record collections in the entire cold world.
That is why I am very, very supportive of the whole climate change activism movement, because part of my record collection is fading away. It's no good to spin drops of water your turntable.
All of a sudden, you touch a vinyl record and you're like, oh God, why is it so hot? You know, so that's great. You touch it and it's like, oh, that's cold. That's nice.
Ice. Not a lot gets colder than ice. Cold as ice, baby. Ice.
And never put a vinyl record on top of an ice record or it'll ruin the ice record.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Melt it away. My other guest on the show is Nick Cage. Welcome.
Yeah, Bjork. Oh, my God. Bjork, I got to tell you, I am so always humbled and honored to be around a fellow artist who understands what this medium is. You know, so many of these actors and musicians are claimed to be artists, but they are nothing. They do not bring anything to the table. But you and I, we are operating at the same wavelength at all times. It's like the rest of the human beings are on Earth, and Bjork, you and I are on our own planet, in our own solar system, and vibing at a whole other wavelength that no one understands, and that's how we like it, baby. Woo!
Thank you, Nicholas.
Oh, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Nick and I, we were pen pals in the 90s before the internet.
Before and then past the internet, we were writing letters to each other well into the aughts, well into the third or fourth year of the pandemic.
And we both use this is neither here nor there, but we both use quill pins. Totally.
Yes, and we write from our dungeons with full, like, surrounded by fire.
I don't like that.
I do not. I'm not surrounded by fire. I try to make that clear to you all the time.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, you're in Iceland.
That would melt
a
hole in my house.
I always forget you're in Iceland. I, Nicolas Cage, you know, let's just go down the list. Ghost Rider 1, Ghost Rider 2, Drive Angry. I am operating in a hellscape at all times, so I'm surrounded by fire.
Yeah. Hey, Nick. That's
terrifying and awful.
Oh, Jennifer Tilly.
Whoa. Hey. I know it's been a while, but remember when I came to the set of Trapped in Paradise?
How could I forget?
And you passed me around. You, Dana Carvey, and John Lovett passed me around and fucked me like a hand puppet.
That was a crew. Like, let's just not lose sight of the fact that I did a movie. It was me, Dana Carvey, and John Lovitz did a movie together, and it was
absolute
just hijinks.
Chaos. It's a chaos. It's an insane film, and I love it.
People wouldn't think that that would be one of the most hardcore sets that I ever worked on, but it was just orgy after orgy after orgy.
I don't know. People were handing me powder, then pills, and I was just brushing my teeth with whatever the fuck people were handing me. It was a good time.
It was great. Jen, we'd watch dailies and just be like, wait, what did we just shoot? We'd have no memory of anything we were doing, and I'm surprised it made it onto the screen, but hey, that's how artistry rolls, baby.
I'm just curious, was that movie about bank robbers?
Yeah.
Good. I love bank robbing movies. I'm writing it on my list.
I will be in that movie right now. I'll do it. Sight unseen. I don't even need to see a script. I'll do it.
I just have a list of movies that were made about bank robberies.
I'll do any of them.
It's fantastic. It's great. Nick's funny in it. Nick's funny. You're funny.
Yeah, you would think, that's what's so crazy, is you would think like Dana Carvey, John Lovitz, and in the 90s, like peak, but you know who's the funniest person in the movie? Nick Cage. That's just how good of an actor I am.
You're totally.
Thorvald, I've been meaning to tell you.
Yeah.
Dark day afternoon.
Oh, yes. Someone else recommended
Dark that. Dark day afternoon, yes.
I need to watch it. I know there's a quote from it, which is, I'm walking here, right? I'm walking my dog here.
Isn't that, we're talking Dog Day Afternoon, right?
Yes.
The Baker, yeah, that's the right quote. I'm walking here.
I'm walking here. I'm walking my dog here. Here we are.
Yeah, and then it's Midnight Cowboy is when he shouts, Attica, right? Isn't that...
Is that a bank robber movie? I only like bank robber movies.
To be fair, in Iceland, we do not get a lot of movies because, especially yours, Nicholas, you're a ghost writer where your head is on fire.
Yeah,
that,
no, I
would. That would not be appreciated by our people.
That's in my writer for Ghost Rider, is that this movie should not be able to play in any Icelandic or Scandinavian country, just out of respect for you, Bjork.
Oh, thank you. It wouldn't have made it anyway.
That makes a lot of sense. I brought my DVD of American Treasure with me because I was trying to masturbate myself in Reykjavik, and the plum didn't work.
Oh, Jennifer, I miss your hugs.
All of that tracks.
I miss you too. Oh my God. Remember when we met? Funny story, guys. Me and Bjork met on the set of Liar Liar.
Yes, that's a Jim Carrey movie.
Yeah, James, yeah, James Carrey. Yeah, and it was so funny because Bjork got really mad. She said,
because everyone's lying. Yes, I don't like lying.
And you attacked him, and you punched James in the head a couple times, and then he was like, it's a movie.
And then the director shouted, do it again, take two, and they kept lying.
Yeah,
and I started crying. I said, why is so much lying? We should be called truth. This movie.
That reminds me of that movie, Quick Change.
Also a good bank robber movie, yeah.
Oh, really? Okay, I gotta watch that.
Yeah. I was up for that film. But somebody didn't think that Nick Cage could carry a comedy.
Well, you are no Randy Quaid, that's for sure.
Nobody is. Now, Bjork, I don't know if you've met Randy Quaid, but you talk about somebody who's close to our wavelength. Randy Quaid is definitely in the same ballpark.
Oh, yeah. Randy Quaid trapped me in his floorboard for about a week in the early aughts. It was great. Fun story. We were in the Yosemite National Park, and he owns a van in the park, and he trapped me under the floorboards of the van. And he kept saying, it's a bit. So I kept laughing. And then I started thinking, it's getting awful hot in here. Then he started passing American tea slices through the floorboard. So it was a great week for me.
I have to say, you started that story with fun story, and it did not seem fun to me. And then also, I've never seen a van with floorboards.
Yeah. It was nice. It was oak floorboard.
Beautiful.
Wow.
It's your first red flag. Anytime you see floorboards in a van, get out.
You know, I trusted him.
That means there's
funny.
A basement.
Yeah. He's so funny, though. You know, I had to trust him. I met him on the set of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Great movie.
Classic.
Yeah.
Great. Movie
that made it to Iceland because there's a lot of snow scenes.
It's not quite as good a Christmas movie as Trapped in Paradise, the movie I was in with Dana Carvey and John Lovitz, which did come out at Christmas time, so it is a holiday film. Also, another great holiday film that I'm in is The Family Man. Great movie.
Yeah, really
because
good.
When you think, like, who is today's modern day Jimmy Stewart and should be in kind of an updated It's a Wonderful Life? Nicolas Cage. I mean, it really is like synonymous. One-to-one right there. Me, totally. Jimmy Stewart.
Do you remember, Nick, when we all went, me, you, and Johnny Travolta went shopping for air conditioner units?
I do remember this vividly.
Already a great story.
Yeah, this is great. We were going shopping for air conditioning units.
What is an air conditioning? What is it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Bjork.
Bjork.
Here in the States, it gets hot sometimes. And even though I like to operate at a hellscape, sometimes you do like to have it a little cooler inside. And you get this thing called an air conditioner.
Yes.
And it gets it cooler.
Yeah.
But yeah, me, you, and Johnny T went to go get air conditioners. I don't know what happened. Cut to, we're in Slovenia, bobsledding.
That's right.
With half the bobsledding team. And at the same time, we've somehow done a coup and taken over the whole country. It's the craziest
thing.
Why does that story not get started with fun story? Me and Johnny T went shopping for air conditioners when the story about being trapped under Randy Quaid's floorboards starts with fun story.
Well, because it was a bloody coup we had to do. The cut two that I left out was when the fact that we had to murder several hundred people
at least half the bobsled team.
Yeah,
that's right.
You know,
we finished silver because we finished second, and we were like, that's bullshit. My big old fat titties definitely crossed the finish line first. And then they said, sorry, you got silver. So we got really fucking pissed.
My query.
Okay, that's a great segue to the topic of this episode of my podcast, which is my album Post. It was my second album.
Beautiful. That came out.
Great album. Great album. This is when I fell in love with you, Bjork.
This is the album that I am most familiar with, that I feel like I can talk about the most.
Like, you mean like you remember it the best? That's what you mean? You like remember it the most?
Yes.
I feel like some of your albums you have never even listened to, Bjork. Yes. Is that possible?
There's one of my albums that's a CD-ROM. I can't even figure out how to play it.
Your music is hard to find.
But see, that's what artistry is. People should have to work extra hard just to actually see your content. That's why I release a lot of my films on video on demand, and I don't even have a date. It just kind of shows up on Apple someday, and it's like, look, if you want to see my shit, you got to actually fucking work for it.
I released an album in 2004 that I released in CDs inside a glacier. And the glacier hasn't fully melted yet, so it hasn't fully dropped.
I remember that. Remember, and I remember one time we were brainstorming ways to release an album, and you released an album inside a Burger King kids meal. Just one single Burger King kids meal.
And that kid ate it. And we followed it around for 4 days.
The Burger King was a tender.
Yeah, and we hoped he'd pass it in a single piece. And we were coaching him. We're like, you'll be fine, kid. Just breathe through it.
And his parents kept objecting to us being around and saying, get out of our house. And I said, what? I'm a famous pop star.
And I said, I'm America's favorite actress. And then I cracked the TV in half over my head.
That did make the tabloids.
Now that's a fun story, for sure.
Fun story.
I agree.
Okay. I open the show with Army of Me. This would be considered industrial. We actually went to a factory and made some factory workers make these sounds.
Yeah, you can hear it.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun stories of those factory workers you can hear coming through.
Yeah, I feel like they're trying to get off the floor, trying to take their break, and you wouldn't let them.
When you hear the phrase Army of Me, the title of my song, what do you think? I know what Thorwell thinks. He thinks of having to battle an entire legion of ice elves alone.
Yes. It makes me think of the good part of that movie about where they were in, the Marines are in Paris Island and they train and then they go to Vietnam, you know. The first half of the movie is great, the second half.
Yeah, training's always a lot of fun.
Yeah, the montage.
Except for the guy who goes crazy.
Yes, right. And then he kills himself at the end. That part I did not like.
That's never fun.
Spoiler, but it's halfway through the movie, so there's more to go after that.
Oh, you mean Full Metal Jacket? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, we got there. First, I was like, hey, man, I don't know where you're going, but I'm in for it. But then I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Big Vinny
That didn't
D.
happen in Hamburger
Vinny
Hill as
D.
well.
Vincent D'Onofrio kills himself. Right.
And I like that movie because it's both a great war movie and it's about what you need when it's cold out. You need a jacket, you know? So it makes me feel comfortable to be part of that fan culture.
You know? Totally, I get that. I guess it makes me think of my wonderful friend, Rose McGowan. True American hero. Loved celebrity by all, and how brave she is every day of her life.
She's an army of herself.
Yeah, it's her against the world, you know, because everyone's, you know, a misogynist.
Exactly, everyone is.
This is true. This is true. Speaking of misogynists, Nicolas Cage here, Army of One. When I hear that, I think of only one. I think of me. I think of all the times that people have told me, hey, Nicolas Cage, you're bankrupt. You need to stop buying islands and dinosaur bones and dyeing your hair red. And I say, you know what? But I need to continue being me. You all don't. Money is all a construct in your mind. I can keep buying stuff because it's all fake and it's all, we're all fake and you're fake. And you know what? Just let me do another movie. I will make movies at all times, anywhere, anytime. I'm currently shooting one. Army of One, Cage, let's go. That's a great title for a movie starring me. Great.
You're
Army
only of one, shooting one.
Cage, done.
You're only shooting one movie right now.
There's only one because the other one is currently at lunch. So I'm shooting one movie right now about a
guy. Oh, you mean while you're on this podcast?
Yeah, you can't see on the other side of my Zoom call. It's a multicam. There's three different cameras, A, B, C. And then the other movie is at lunch right now because we had an earlier call time.
I love it.
It's so cool. Remember that time, Nick, you were on the Conan O'Brien show and you ate your money in a bowl of milk like cereal?
I got the taste for money when I did that. And so now that's my breakfast every morning. Okay. Is just money, which, I mean, goes without saying that my business manager totally hates, but you know, he doesn't get it. He's not an artist. He doesn't understand that, you know, I don't do this for the money, even though I do need to do it for the money.
Nicholas, totally. How many islands do you currently own?
Currently, they were taken away from me in my most recent bankruptcy filing. So I don't have any at the moment, but you know that, you know me, Bjork, that could always change. So
I advise,
always in the market for islands.
I advise against buying islands. I've bought a couple and they've always melted away. And you build a house on one.
Yeah, those were not real islands. Those were ice floes. You and I had a long discussion about that.
I remember we were all on one of those ice floes. Me, you, Thorvald, and we were talking to a possessed goat. And then we'd be like, oh no, where'd the land go?
Yes, we were floating away.
Floating away. It was like, God damn it, I just parked my Kia over there and now I can't get to it.
I remember you said, this goddamn possessed goat. It tricked us.
Because we thought we were going to, it like felt like the mood was right. It felt like we were going to, you know, it felt like we were going to close the deal. But he was a fucking teeth.
You would be surprised at how many Kias get abandoned on glaciers just when they're shooting commercials alone. You go on a hike and just see brand new Kias just out on a glacier and totally. No one can get to them.
I bet. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
It's easy to get them up there, but hard to get them down.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they're saying is when climate change fully takes its effect, most of land masses are just going to be covered with Kias that were previously on glaciers that have melted.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait. I bought a Sorento in 1999 and I'm just dying to drive again.
Let's move on to Hyper Ballad.
Yes.
Remember this?
Great fucking song.
Oh, man.
I'm going to read some of the lyrics, too.
Oh, hell yeah.
Start yet?
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
We live on a mountain.
Oh, yeah.
I love this. I love when you can't tell if a song is actually music yet or not. It's great.
Oh, cool.
This is a song about a view from the top of a mountain.
You can see all the Kias from the top of a mountain.
When you think of beautiful views and beautiful moments in your life, what memory comes to mind?
Well, for me, I remember the time I had too many Quaaludes, and I thought I could climb the Paramount logo mountain and touch the semicircle of stars on top. But it turns out I was just googed out of my brains, and I woke up in an Astro Burger in North Hollywood.
That is a beautiful moment.
It was a wonderful night.
What about you, Thorvel? Oh, go ahead, Nicholas.
No, Thorvel's ready to go.
Well, you know, everybody gets their chance, I guess, so I guess I will go ahead. I just remember I was just a young troll, and there was another troll that I was a little interested in, and she said to me, this new movie came out, and I said, is it a bank robber movie? And she said, no. And I don't remember the movie, but I was very excited that she asked me to go. It was about dinosaurs, and they'll live in a park, and then people go to visit them, and then they get away, and there's a big problem. And we went, and we made out as the people were running from the dinosaurs, and it was...
I think that's it. The movie's called Pete the Dragon.
Yes, Pete the Dragon. Mm-hmm. And
I don't think he lives in a park, but go ahead.
It was just a beautiful part of my life, with me and that beautiful troll. I mean, she really was stunning. She was.
What was her name?
14 feet tall, and built like a, you know, like a plinth.
That is so sweet.
That's really sweet.
Her name was Binsenberg.
If you could say something to Binsenberg right now, what would you say?
I am grateful that we had our time together. I think it's okay we went our separate ways. But if they ever make a sequel to that movie about the dinosaurs in the park, I would love to go.
I'd do that movie too. If they ever made a sequel or a movie about dinosaurs in a park or a world, whatever, I would do that movie.
Yeah, I would love to do that movie. If they're casting, if they need like a woman to come in, like a woman, and she's like, hey, stop it. I would do that.
We got it here. Me, you, dinosaurs. Somebody give us some money to make this movie. I'll do it right now as soon as this other movie I'm doing is on.
Totally.
Also on lunch.
I tried to impregnate myself with a piece of mosquito amber and got nothing. Zilch. It was in my womb for 9 months. Nothing. Not a single baby dino.
Wait, were you trying to make a human dino fusion or grow a dino?
No, I just wanted, I'm not crazy. I just wanted a little baby dino to call my own.
She's not crazy, Nicholas.
Was there a particular shape that the mosquito amber was in, or was it just like a little cube?
I'm pretty sure it was amber. It was either a mosquito in amber or a rat in honey. And I put it right inside me nothing. Nothing. No bites. No takers.
That's
None
a fun
of us
story if I ever heard
judge each other
one.
For sexual proclivities.
Totally.
Everyone
that is a fun story.
What turns them off.
I love that. What was the question, Bjork?
I'm sorry. I'm listening to this part of my song. I like that songs can have 20 seconds at the end like this. Check this out.
Yeah, just nothing.
I'm going to crank it. That's patience.
If I remember correctly, when we mixed this song, I was trying to cut the violins off and they would not stop.
That makes sense.
You can never control violin players.
I was gesturing wildly, like, cut, enough. And they just kept going.
Violinists are narcissists, every single one of them.
Every single one of them.
They're pissed off that nobody wants to sit around a campfire with a violin and say, hey, let's play some violin songs.
sing along.
That's why I have a bumper sticker on my Chevy Volt that says, "Stop the violinist." Sometimes you just gotta put it out there.
Speaking of which, it's our next song. I love this song.
Oh, yeah.
The Modern Things. Listen, what is that? Remember, Thorvald, what is this instrument? Do you remember?
I remember it's a stringed instrument.
Yes. It is this, the cables of an elevator. We opened up an elevator shaft and played the cables like a giant.
That's how we lost Fred.
Right, because it plummeted. I remember this.
We started to push him from behind and down.
Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes you got to kill people to make art. I mean, I feel like that kind of goes without saying.
Agreed.
I mean, the body count on Honeymoon in Vegas was staggering.
I bet. Oh, yeah, you got to do that. You got to. And, you know, if people love the art, you're willing to die for the art, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to hear about, like, I've got a family and kids. Like, I got a family and kids, and I don't pay attention to them, so it's not hard. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah. If you have something to say artistically, you cannot let anything stop you. Even someone going, be careful, this is an open elevator shaft that goes down 11 stories. Don't push me from behind.
Totally. Yeah.
It's like, don't give me your rules. Art has no rules, okay? Mm-hmm.
That's why I called it the Modern Things, because modern things are always new and do not obey the rules of the past.
What is called Modern Things?
This song.
Oh, of course.
That you worked on.
Yeah, you remember Thorvald? Oh, man. It reminds me of that kid we killed. Me and Sinbad killed a kid. It was on the set of Blank Check, actually, with neither of us were in the movie. But there was a kid there who was just there for the day, and his job was to jump in a moon castle. And then he made a comment about my shoe, so we killed him. Fun story.
Did you spend a lot of time with Sinbad?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I dated Sinbad for years, but he begged me not to tell anyone.
That's the thing about Sinbad. That guy is, he's very private.
Yeah.
Does not like to have any secrets out. And that man has killed many people. Like, we can't lose that fact.
That's not
the first kid he killed. That's for sure.
No, yeah. He knew exactly what to do with the body afterward. I was like, you know, you're good. You're good, man.
That's unspoken Hollywood right there. If you need to get rid of a body, you call Sinbad. That's...
Absolutely.
I was going to...
That's modern times right there.
I was going to save my true crime corner of the podcast for later. But now that we're talking about it, this is true crime corner. Go ahead. What happened to the body?
Oh, the agony was great. I never even thought about it. Sinbad was like, actually, if we go down to the San Diego Zoo, I know some macaques who will eat anything I throw their way. And it was 4 a.m., so it was easy to sneak in. And we were just tossing his little limbs. And because he was so young and fresh, we were twisting his limbs off like it was a candy cane. Just pop and just throwing the pieces into the cage. It was really great.
I will say this. Does anybody know any macaques who won't eat anything thrown away?
Right.
That's a good
one.
Yeah.
Working
right.
No, that's good. No, that's good.
Thank you.
I love that.
Thank you.
I love that. Are you macaque jokes?
Yes.
Great.
Nothing cracks me up more than true crime. But if I can brag on our own podcast, most true crime podcasts, they spin the whole podcast. I like just sprinkling in a little true crime podcast within a larger podcast about music or self-help or politics, right? Yeah, there should be a little true crime in every podcast.
Yeah, everything the crime.
And I have Jennifer Tilly here to admit to it. It's not just a mystery. We have the actual perpetrator on my podcast.
Right. Yeah,
it's like, you know, 8 episodes of Serial in like, you know, 30 seconds. It's great.
Exactly. I love Serial.
I love eating like the food. Oh, my God. I mean, the podcast, whatever, seasons 2 and 3 are like, you know, I guess this is still happening, but Serial, the food?
Oh, my God. So good.
Wow.
How many macaques does it take to screw in a light bulb?
How many?
I don't know.
4. 1 to screw the light bulb in and 3 to eat all the shit lying around the apartment.
You got to go on the road. You got to go on the road with this.
That's hilarious.
You let me know if you need someone to open for you. I will teach myself how to do stand-up, and I will open for you.
Nicholas,
no problem.
Thorvald is sadly most of the time on the road, because we are always at battle in our country. Just please remember that.
I catch an occasional open mic in Reykjavik, but mostly I am fighting the elves.
That's understandable. But I just said offers on the table, bro.
Thanks.
Offers on the table. I have a very heavy writer and I have a huge amounts of money that you have to pay me. Again, it's not about the money, but it is about the money. But I'm here for you to open if you need me to.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next
all about
song,
the art. All about the art.
The next song on the album is my favorite song. And when people say, "What's your favorite song of yours?" this is one of the few that I always can remember, to be honest. And I remember the video, too, making the video.
Before you play this, can I just ask you a quick question? So when you're doing a show, and Bjork, your concerts are incredible, like, you know, the soundscapes, okay, the visualscapes, but like, do you not even know what song's coming next when you're performing and then you have to like have all the lyrics there? Like, how does that work? If you don't mind me asking.
Sometimes I do have so many things happening in my shows with the visuals and the dancing and the atmospherics and the puppetry and the virtual reality and of course always CD-ROM. Every single one of my shows has that option.
Of course.
That you can put it in the CD-ROM. But sometimes I forget that the song part of the show, I forget, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be singing a song right now.
I think people love that about you, Bjork. People love it. They really get your vision.
But I do write the lyrics to all my songs on the stage. That's why our setup takes so long.
It sounds like it takes quite a while.
That's true. I remember
we were out at one of your concerts in 2004, and who did I bump into? Wouldn't you know it? Courtney Cox, our kid at the time, and she convinced me to have a threesome with her and her husband, where they put my head underneath a pile of watermelons. It was a fun story.
I have mixed feelings about that being a fun story.
But at least you tail-ended it with its fun story instead.
It's a fun story.
But here is my song everybody remembers.
Oh, great song.
Oh, wow.
I love it. That part is my favorite.
Yeah, because people think they can, I can talk over this. And you're like, no, you can't.
Go ahead, Thorvald.
I was going to say, we made this music by blowing into the steps of an escalator as it was going by. That was how we made these. Almost like we played the escalator like a flute.
Yes, that is how we achieved that. I thought that you were going to tell the story of why the inspiration for the song, which...
Oh, yes.
Thorvald and I were... It's hard to tell the story.
Well, we were go ahead.
We were at battle, and most of our comrades, they had died in this particular battle around us. I was sopped in the blood of my... those goddamn eyes. Goddamn ice elves.
It's okay.
They killed every one of our friends that day.
It's okay.
But we hid under a pile of bodies because we were being hunted by a large group of elves. And I fell asleep and started to snore. And Bjork woke me up and said, "Stop snoring like that. You need to be quiet."
Yeah. Yes, it wasn't as quite as perfect as it is in the song. I did not say, "Shh, it's all so quiet," but paraphrased, I did say.
But basically...
Quit snoring, you need
to be quiet. It was like, shut up, stop snoring, be quiet. And then we sort of transformed that in the... Bjork took the words and transformed that.
Yes, into this.
It's so quiet.
Oh, so still. More songs should have the artist telling the listeners to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Listen to my song.
A lot of people do that. Lord does that too.
I actually wanted to have a...
Wow.
Let's talk about that moment in the studio when I did the first take, when I screamed.
Yeah, you were electrocuted.
Yes. Yes, that was the...
I love that. Art is pain. Art is pain. No art. Be art. Live art. And you asked to be electrocuted there, if I recall correctly. You were telling me that.
I did not know. I didn't. I said, "Thorvald, surprise me with the voltage."
Yes. So I went out and I got the battery out of my Chevy Volt and I brought it inside.
That was around in the 90s? You had a Chevy Volt in the 90s?
Yeah, because that was when GM wow. was trying to kill the electric car.
That's impressive.
It was a prototype.
Electric cars started in Iceland, you idiots.
Oh, good point. Sorry.
I didn't know Nick Cage was the logic police.
The fact that that is so illogical almost makes it logical. So there you go. Boom.
Anyway, I got the battery out of my prototype Chevy Volt and brought it into the studio. And I set up a few wires. And then the next thing you know, we had this masterpiece.
Yeah.
Let's listen to the scream again.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that you can tell you were in pain.
Still remember the way the hair stood up on your head in that moment.
It's never recovered. It's never fully come back down, right? It's my understanding.
It was literally smoke coming out of her ears.
And that I was able to recover and do these lyrics is unbelievable, in my opinion.
I remember I took a photo of you looking like that and put it up next to a poster of Yahoo Sirius, which was the 90s. So that was okay then.
Yeah, I remember we had ground you. We had to ground you, like literally. So I went outside and I stole a tire from a Ford Explorer, which, you know, at the time was a car, and it was a very dangerous Firestone tire. So it wasn't of good use anyway. So we felt okay taking it.
Another surprise. Love it.
I only asked you to do it once.
That's
in
why
the song,
it
you
when it
kept doing
happening.
It.
That's what I love about you, Bjork. You know, you get electrocuted with what could only be said as a lethal dose, and you just keep on going because that's why you're as great as you are.
Nicholas, have you ever been doing a role where you asked to, for your method acting, put yourself in pain?
Please, almost every time I'm shooting. Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans. Yeah, get right in there. Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans, when I'm supposedly high on crack and I see a guy over, like I'm having a vision and I see a person break dancing, that whole scene. Yeah, I definitely smoked crack. And then I had somebody underneath me had a little a piece of like a glass shard, and they cut my tendon, right? My Achilles tendon. So, and that's how I had that big reaction. Well, I was like, ah, because I can get there, but I wanted to really have that emotional impact of not only being on actual crack, but you know, pain. I wanted to see it, everything. And you know, that's just how you got to, if you want to actually be this, and you don't want to be like a, you know, a pansy ass actor like Meryl Streep. You want to actually act. You gotta go there.
I tell
you, Jennifer Tilly, you get it.
Oh,
Harvey,
yeah.
Harvey, yeah, no, the other one, not the Harvey Keitel Bad Lieutenant. I made another one called Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans.
Wait, there was a sequel to Bad Lieutenant?
It's not really a sequel. It's like a spiritual sequel. Like it was another cop who was also bad, and I was in the port. I was in New Orleans.
I'm writing this down.
Yeah, it's actually like, in all sincerity, it was a movie that I was pretty much high the entire time on crack. But it's good. It's a good one. It's a good one.
I've got a lot of good act. Oh hell yeah!
I love that stinger.
I wanted to give that to you. I wish every time I finished a story, like at a cocktail party.
Like play it out. So like instead of a rim shot of a joke, you have like fanfare when you finish a story. That'd be great.
That'd be cool as hell.
I like that.
It'd probably help every story sound more fun. Wow.
I got to go to the bathroom now. I'm going to go get a beer.
Okay.
All right, my next song is ironically called Enjoy.
I like that it's called Enjoy, but the tone right up the top is like, this is not enjoyable.
Absolutely.
We are dark, and that's an area I like to operate in.
Yeah, my God. Horrifying.
I was listening to this yesterday, and it gave me anxiety and made me want to vomit.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. Oh my God.
I did the mix for this from inside a dumbwaiter.
You were in a bad place when you recorded this. I remember. You were only eating lemon skin and Pez.
I think it's important on a good album to always put a really shitty song up fifth.
I remember that was your one requirement for that album. That was the one thing you stipulated going in was, let's put a shitty song fifth.
Well, that's how you and I are on the same wavelength. As I said earlier, every fifth movie I do is utter bullshit. And that's just it.
Totally. Like Mandy. Fuck that movie.
Sure. Mandy, Color of Shape, I think, is a movie I do.
Yeah. But you like, really do some real diarrhea of movies.
USS Indianapolis. What color is Shape?
Yeah,
the Shape of Color, that's what it's called.
What shape is color?
What shape is color?
Come watch the movie and find out. Yeah.
All right.
But orange is orange is a circle. Orange is a circle. That's
it's round.
Right, yeah. Now, with the title of this song, Enjoy, let's go around and just, what is something right now that you are enjoying in your life? We're all coming out to the pandemic and getting back to maybe normalcy, and what are we enjoying?
Yeah.
I'll tell you something I'm enjoying as I'm having my fourth wife just had another kid. I'm enjoying the fact that I still have a busy work schedule, and so my commitment to actually raising that child is still like bare minimum. I'm really enjoying that.
Yeah.
Ask all my other kids, Connor, Kal-El, ask them all. I'm very absent, and that's how I like it.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor?
Now, come on. I would only name my kid Superman. I would never name my kid Superman's nemesis because I still want to play Superman, okay? We went into production with Tim Burton. We did test photos and all kinds of stuff, and then they canceled the damn movie. I still want to do it. Let's go. Tim Burton, we don't have to do it at HBO Max. They've got some issues going on over there. We could do it somewhere else. I know Chinese investors. I know, Arab investors in the UAE that'll give us money. We might have to murder a few people, but hey, that's how you get money these days to make a movie.
Amen. Thorvald, what are you enjoying these days?
I like to go around and let the air out of the tires of Amazon drivers. Because I've seen that Amazon is promoting a strange, looks very boring documentary about elves of some sort that's coming out very soon. And they keep showing trailers for it. Oh, look, the elves. So I will go anytime I see a truck that says Amazon on it. I will let the air out of the tires.
Well deserved. What about you, Ginny?
I go into Cold Stone Creamery, then lie about my birthday. I guarantee to gotta love it for free. I love it. I get it with all the mix-ins. Oreos, gummy worms, caramel sauce, but no ice cream. That's nasty.
What kind of cream?
No ice cream. Ice cream's nasty.
The word before cream?
Cream?
What is this ice cream?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So do you make cream out of ice?
Well, just like sometimes in hot places, people...
Thorvald, do you hear this?
My mouth is
having ice cream
right now.
Nick, yeah, well, just like air conditioners, sometimes when people live in hotter places, they want to put colder things in their mouth.
Remember that time that me, you, and Johnny T went to go get ice cream? Not the air conditioning, but the time we went to go get ice cream?
Yeah.
Cut
fun
to...
Fun story or not fun story?
Fun.
This is a fun story. Fun. This is Excellent. A fun story. Cut to me, Jenny T, and Johnny T are all being held captive by the Saudis over plutonium that we had stolen. Fun story. Yeah.
Very fun story. We accidentally stole plutonium rod. We thought they were string cheese.
Yeah. Me, Jenny T, Johnny T, and Nikki C, as we called ourselves. And we were just, getting in some crazy stuff with plutonium rods.
Hey, we were high on frog pith. We were crazy.
Johnny T had the best frog piss. So you guys have no clue. Bjork, you would love Johnny T's frog piss.
I love frog piss. The next song is called You've Been Flirting Again. Do you remember this one?
Oh, yes.
Of course.
I don't.
You were too busy flirting.
How romantic.
I sound sad.
Yeah.
Who was the last person that you flirted with, Thorvald?
Well, I'll be honest. It was during a battle with the elves. And one of the elves...
Sometimes there's no time to meet anyone except for at the workplace.
One of the elves reminded me of someone I went to school with long, long ago. And there was a moment where the fog cleared and we both brandished our weapons. But we looked at each other. And we blinked, and then we winked, and then we stared, and then we blinked again, winked again, and we knew we were connecting.
That's fucking beautiful.
And then we flew in again, and we both went in opposite directions without killing each other. And I feel like that was the closest I've come to matching with someone in a long time.
It is a beautiful story.
That's fucking gorgeous,
story.
Man.
It's a fun story, I think.
Good for you. It's
a very fun story.
Good for you, man.
Very fun story.
What about you, Nicholas? Who have you flirted with? You're single,
well,
correct?
No, I'm currently married, but, you know, that's never stopped me before. I think it kind of goes without saying that I'm, like, super into negging. So I love to go up to women and just go, hey, nice hair. Is this real? And that usually is, like, in. That works. That's either going to get me slapped, which I like, into it. They're going to be into it, and we're going to have a nice night together. Or I'm going to get a drink in the face, also something I like. So to me, it's just like win, win, win.
What about you, Jenny? Who did you flirt with last? Are you married?
No. I'm trying to get back with Tucky. But, motherfucker, says my pussy's gigantic. And, you know, he's like, it's not you, it's me, I'm tiny. And he's still fucking Annabelle, that son of a bitch. But I'll get back with him one day. I know it.
True love will triumph.
Yeah.
Yeah, have you guys tried blinking and winking at each other?
Oh, yeah.
Trust me, it works.
I gotta do that some more. I've just been sending death threats.
Okay. We have not much time left, but many songs. So are there any songs you'd like to hear?
No.
There's one called, that's so rude to me.
Elvis Presley?
Oh, wait, did you say Elvis? Did you say Elvis? Oh, yeah, please. Anything Elvis. Suspicious Minds.
You assholes, it is my album post.
Oh, okay, sorry.
This is possibly maybe.
Oh, wait, yeah. You're possibly maybe going to play a song, or this is the name of the song?
It's the name of the song.
Oh, that's right.
Hand to forehead. Let's read
some. I remember we initially wanted to call this Not Sure About This One.
Didn't MTV use this for something?
Again, you gotta make people wonder whether what they're listening to is actually music. Just like my movies, or you're not sure if what you're actually watching is a narrative film.
Totally.
You think it sounds like a crazy woman standing in front of a band? Just ranting?
A band that's warming up, that's just like testing to see if their instruments still work.
Totally. Sounds like you're turning on a clothing steamer. Just turning it off and on.
Listen, this part, Thorvald. You hear that fried chicken?
What about Thorvald's fried chicken?
That's Thorvald's vinyl. You don't hear that popping.
Oh, I see.
That was back when we still used vinyl before we got into ice.
Oh, yeah. You can hear it. They don't make it music like this anymore.
No one bothers putting weird fucking sounds in songs anymore.
God, amen. Seriously.
Totally. Now music has like choruses and catchy tunes. Bullshit.
We started using ice. That's why I have a bumper sticker on my car now that says stop the vinyl.
How many bumper stickers do you have on your car that just say stop something on it?
11.
I love it.
This is called I Miss You. What is something that you miss, Jenny?
Chucky's dick.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay.
Nicholas, what do you miss?
I miss being invited to the Academy Awards. I won one like 20 years ago, and they just never feel like anything I do.
What would you have done if you had seen, would you have been there when Will slapped Chris?
What would I have done?
Yes.
I probably would have jumped up and been like, oh, is that what we're doing? And probably just joined in. I would have probably slapped Will Smith, though. I probably would have slapped Will Smith, though, because, like, come on, man. Like, you know, Jada's she can take care of herself. Why do you need to stand up for her? Come on. Mm. It's 2022, bro.
I would have gone to the nearest reporter and kicked him in the throat.
Well, I'm sorry, what?
I would have found the nearest reporter and kicked him in the throat.
That's right. The one thing I love about you the most, Bjork, was you attacked someone in Bangkok for saying, "Welcome to Bangkok."
Yeah, I banged his cock.
You punched him right in the throat. I would love that about you because it's like, you never know what's going to happen next. You never know what's happening.
Come at me, Will Smith. Come at me.
And the press didn't even know. After that, you followed him home and ran him off the road. It was so funny.
Again, you got to kill people to make art.
Let's edit that out.
Okay.
Don't admit to crimes like you.
Oh, sorry.
What about you, Thorvald? What do you miss?
I miss the days when I was a young troll and I went, for the first time to see movies like, for example, a movie about a young boy living on a desert planet where nobody knew he was there. And then they came and got him and taught him how to use magic ways to defeat a giant empire. And at the time they said there's going to be many, many sequels to this movie. We have a big plan. And I was very excited about what they would make.
That sounds like you could also like make a bunch of like television series as well. Like maybe some animated ones, some live action ones.
Put it on the streaming.
No,
that never happened. So
that has like streaming potential written all over it.
Totally.
This next song is called "Cover Me."
With what?
Was this when you were covering? Covering yourself with pith in the mornings, or with or.
Please remember, in my country, when you cover yourself in pith, it is you are frozen in it when you wake up in the morning. It can be quite dangerous.
Very dangerous.
What art is. Art is dangerous, Bjork, and that's why you're amazing.
Yeah,
that is our amber in Iceland.
I didn't realize this was all about piss, but I did do a version of this song on ukulele and put it up on YouTube. It's very meta. I did a cover of Cover Me.
She's asking for it. She's basically asking for you to cover this song, so.
Be ironic and hilarious, and it's gotten over 11 views.
How do these sounds translate to chords on a ukulele?
Not well. See, that one works. That one works.
Spooky.
I'm gonna cut.
Ooh. Reminds me of my time on the set of Haunted Mansion starring Eddie Murphy.
Great movie. Great movie.
Such a good movie. And fun fact, I signed a 7-film deal with Disney. Those bastards canceled it. We're supposed to make 7 of those movies. And then they said this was a piece of dog shit we're not making anymore.
If I had a nickel for every time I've heard that.
Totally.
I've had 35 cents.
This is the final song, Headphones. And ironically, we are all wearing headphones now as we do this podcast. But
as I recall, you demanded that this song be not listened to via headphones, even though it was called Headphones, correct?
Yes, I wanted it listened to underwater only.
I also am not sure that I understand the definition of irony, because I thought the fact that we were all wearing headphones would be described as sarcastic. Am I wrong about this?
Wow, that's a good question. Or is it tomfoolery? Is it tomfoolery?
Or a
I think we have had all that on this show today. And I have had such a delightful time with all my friends.
Yeah.
Nicholas, thank you for coming by.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Bjork, anytime.
Your unmedicated insight is always welcome.
Always. I will give it to you whether you want it or not. Yep.
Speaking of unmitigated, unadulterated, Jennifer Tilly, I miss drowning in your hugs.
I do too. I miss being put on a leash and begging a human to walk us around the block.
That too. That as well.
I miss you. We'll catch up soon. Thanks for this.
And Thorvald, you will be joining me in the hunt for the great ice warm Lagerflot.
Yes, we will
when
be
the, when the moon is full. Mm-hmm. So I will see you there.
Also, can I say one more thing?
Yes, please.
A chimpanzee, a gorilla, and a macaque walk into a bar.
Okay.
Yeah. If you want to know the rest, you'll have to come see me at the North Reykjavik Haha Hut this Tuesday at 4 p.m.
I'm there. I will be there. Absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm shooting a movie in Reykjavik during that block, so that'll work out well.
Yeah, and I just got water skied, so I'll see you there.
And this has been another episode of Sample. This has been another episode of Sonic Symbolism. Keep being cold.
Wonderful.
Improv for Humans with Matt Bessers and Airwolf Production. Produced by Brett Morris and Amelia Chapelow. Engineered by Brett Morris. Music by Dragoon. Find our latest merch at wodswag.com. Help get the word out by telling a friend about the show today. Make sure to rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. Want more? Find the full archive, ad-free episodes, as well as original premium series from Matt and Brett on Stitcher Premium, like The States of Perfection. Use promo code ESTATES for a 1 month free trial. For photos, show notes, and more, go to earwolf.com.